And we're going to look at a topic very, actually just thinking through it based on what we just talked about, very, very interesting topic, and just praying about what to bring forth. And the Lord led me to a topic that I don't think I've ever really preached on, and it's on alms deeds, right? Alms giving. And so very interesting, very, very interesting. There's some interesting things attached with that. And so I'm going to read a passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Then we'll talk about what alms are, alms deeds, alms giving, and alms spelled A-L-M-S. And then we'll, it's just kind of very, very interesting topic. And there's some things connected with this that I think will be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse number 1. Bible says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly." Pretty awesome. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss things that, God, as we look forward to this year, try to manage it, try to plan things out. And we just want to do right, God, with what you have given to us. We want to be responsible. We want to be good stewards. And God, we thank you, God, for the place that we find ourselves in. And Lord, I thank you for just the wisdom, the opportunity, the mind, the opportunity as a church, the mind of the church to work through things like this. It's a blessing. And I just pray that you would give us wisdom in it, God, that you would bring us together in unity on these decisions, God. And I look forward to what that outcome will be. And I look forward to seeing your hand supply according to that. And thank you for the group together tonight. I know there's some that would love to be here. But I know Patricia had that surgery, Lord, and Nancy's sick and others, Lord. We just pray you'd help our people, Lord, to be able to be fully recovered from infirmity and from different things going on, dear God. I pray that you'd strengthen our people and that you'd provide health for us as we go into this new year and stamina. I know many of us, from whatever we went through, Lord, it seemed to have zapped some of that energy. And I just pray you'd restore that for us, God, and help us, Lord, to be able to engage strongly into this fight, this battle that's before us, Lord, in this year that we're now in the midst of. And tonight I pray you'd bless richly, Lord, this message. I pray it'd be a help to all of our people. And thank you, God, for this topic. And God, how much you put in your word concerning it. Just give us much wisdom from this message tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in Matthew 6, we kind of see here that when Jesus speaks on the topic of almsgiving, it's kind of a given that you will give alms, right? Because it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of men." And then, of course, when it says, "When thou doest alms," in verse number 3, "Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." And it talks about how you want your alms to be in secret, so that your Father, your Heavenly Father, who sees in secret, then would reward thee openly. So, alms. What do y'all think alms are? What are alms? Kyle Thomas, you raising your hand? Well, I know, but were you raising your hand?
It's an offering?
Yes, but not to God. In a sense,
I think like acts of charity, I think it was considered like righteousness, but it was more to do with gifts for others.
Who would be asking of alms? Like the needy. The blind, the lame, those that couldn't work, right? And they would sit at maybe the gate. They would sit at a public place. And they always kind of think about with a cup, you know, and alms for the poor, and the passerbyer, and they would ask that they would, you know, would give something there. So, yes, so alms is in a sense an offering, right? Because we're taking it using our own resources to help the needy, but in a sense, it is kind of a gift to God, right? Because we're letting God really flow through us to help that needy. In a sense, we're just being a channel for God to use. And we know that God rewards that because that's where his heart is. His heart is in helping the needy. And we're at the top of that list of the needy spiritually, right? And we ask God for help all the time. And so there's always that spiritual connection with the physical. And we see that where God being our example of helping us, who was undeserving, and now we, who may be whole physically, or at least not in an infirmity that would hinder us from work and things like that, we then have the opportunity to help one who cannot do for themselves. So we kind of see that parallel from spiritual reality to physical reality. Now, we might say oftentimes, you know, we are not, as a church, a humanitarian organization as far as meeting the physical needs of others. Now, we're not opposed to that, but our primary stated purpose is we're the pillar and ground of the truth. We preach and teach truth, right? Our commission is to preach the gospel, and then we train people to know the word of God. That is our primary purpose. And so for that reason, we don't have like a benevolent fund that we fill every year and then try to help all these causes like some churches do. It's not that we're opposed to that. We would typically give individually to those things because the funds of the church are really meant for spiritual needs, right? And there's plenty of those. So we kind of there is a difference, and there is a distinction to be made amongst the physical and the spiritual. And yet we also find there's a connection to where if we don't care physically, then how can we really say we care spiritually? But the question becomes, whose responsibility is the alms? Is it the individual? Is it the church? Truly, it's the individual, if that makes sense. So the church's responsibility is to bring forth the word. The individual has a responsibility also, but it's almsgiving. It really is. You gonna say something? Yeah, lendeth unto the Lord, right? So again, that's where that offering side comes in. That in a sense, we are kind of giving to the Lord, right? Because God does promise. There's some amazing promises which we'll look at. So we're going to go to Acts 10 in just a second. Before we do that, though, the alms deeds then were a kind and compassionate thing for people to do out of a desire to help without the need to be seen of others, right? And God makes that clear here. Christ did here in Matthew 6, the Beatitudes. And it says that we're not to do our alms to be seen of men, because then we have our reward. Instead, we are to recognize that when we do alms, we and this is where you got to really pray through, like, because we have people on the side of the road here constantly begging and all that. And, you know, I hope that you do as I don't just automatically say they're all crooks. Right? You want to sometimes. You're like, well, I've seen that person here the last 45 years, you know, or at least 3 years. And in that same spot, or some people say, yeah, there's been reports where they'll go off and get in their caddy, right, Cadillac, and drive home and all that. I'm sure those cases are real. But as God's people, we try to live and walk in the Spirit. And so I'm sure there are some people out there that have legitimate needs. Right? And everybody knows how on that sign use certain tag words, you know, I'm sure. And then some people just get ridiculous. They say, I'm not going to lie, it's for beer. Things like that, right? All these signs, all that kind of vying there. But at the end of the day, we want to be led by the Spirit of God. And there have been times where God just says, you can give that person some money, right? Or you can give that person a sandwich, or you can give whatever it is, right? And if that happens to you, then I would expect that you would be willing to do that, not make a big show of it, just discreetly do what you're going to do, and then you trust God with that, right? And you don't need to follow up on that money. You don't need to go and investigate what that person did with it, because when we do something like that, because we believe God led us to do so, that's the end of it. It's not on us anymore. God is the one that deals with those things, right? That's what I believe would be a good principle there along those lines. Now, I love this part in verse 4, though, that God is pretty much saying here, he's saying this, he's he's almost poking and prodding us a little bit here. And he says, do the alms in secret so that I can reward you openly. It's almost like one of those, prove me on this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. That's kind of what God is saying here. He's offering an incentive, if you will, to say, you should care about them, but to up that a little bit, just so you know, if you'll do this thing right, I will take care of you. All right, look at Acts 10. This is fascinating. I've never really had the attention drawn in my study concerning this detail concerning the centurion, Cornelius the centurion. But in Acts 10, which we know to be, if you look at when the gospel is given to the Jews, Pentecost, the gospel was opened up to the Gentiles right here in Acts 10. And this is very interesting. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That'd be a neat group to be named with, amen, the Italian Band. And he says he was a, listen to how the Bible describes this man, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Four things mentioned about this guy, and I want to say these four things got God's attention, right? And so much so that God then picked this individual to bring the gospel forth in a sense like it is a Gentile Pentecost. And so just fascinating. But the third one there, which gave much alms to the people, says he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers, look at this, and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And so when it comes time for the angel to say, man, God noticed you. God noticed you because of your prayers and your alms. Very interesting. And it says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, he's going to go, of course, and find Peter there praying, and God was dealing with him and all that. But I want to just drop down, if you will, and to verse number 30. Let's see, I believe they're back now. Let's see, yeah, Cornelius said 4 days ago, he's given report, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. And of course, then he was told to send them out. And ultimately, that would lead to the gospel being opened up and the word of God increasing abundantly in that area. It's a fascinating text. And so God points out some things about the Gentile here, Cornelius, in why he chose to use him to open up the gospel to the Gentiles. And one of the key things about it was the fact that he gave alms. He prayed to God often, and he gave much alms to the people. And what I'm finding out, we'll look at a couple other places, look at Acts 9, that if you want to get God's attention in your life in reference to just God noticing you and being willing to use you, it sure does seem like almsgiving is a great avenue for this. Amen? Praying, almsgiving, being a devout man, faithful man, encouraging your household to be faithful. These are all great things. But almsgiving was right there in that list. Being a giver, a helper of those that need physical help. What he's saying here is this, is that he notices when we give to help somebody out, not to be seen, not to get a pat on the back, Not so everybody says, wow, look at how much money Bill Gates gives to all these charities. Not for that reason. No. Bible says, when you do it, not for the accolades, not for anything, just to be a blessing. The Bible says God sees that and God rewards that. Very interesting. Acts 9, verse 36. Now, there was a woman at Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them when he was come. They brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So what was she giving? Coats and clothing. So it's not always money, right? She was giving clothing. She was giving something for people to be clothed with, to be maybe kept warm by, right? That's what she was giving. She was known for it. She was able to sew these things and do all that. She used her talents in this way, and she was a giver. And it says, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, you say, well, where does the alms deeds come in? Well, it was noted. It was noted before this gal died, it was noted that she was known for good works and alms deeds. And it notes this in this text, which she still got sick. It wasn't like her alms deeds and good work kept her from getting sick, right? Because we live in a fallen world. But she had God's attention. I mean, how many people can say that they were able to be raised from the dead like this, right? And here's this one, and it's noted that she was known for her giving, known for just being a help to people. And when she died, it wasn't like, yeah, I knew that one would die soon. I mean, that was a nasty, wicked person. No, it wasn't like that at all. It's like, well, I can't believe she got sick and died crying out to God. God, do something for her and all that. So her giving actually turned people's hearts unto her in a right way. They loved her. And so when she had a need, she had a lot of people praying for her, seeking help for her. They're like, look at all she did for us. What can we do for her? Hey, call Peter. Maybe God will use Peter to raise her up. And sure enough, he did. Amen. But almsgiving was mentioned here in just a couple of things that she was known for. Look at Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse number 37. Luke 11, verse number 37. Now, this will be a Pharisee inviting Jesus over. And of course, Jesus is going to say some things to try to be a help to him. But I want you to see what he says to them. This is fascinating. It says in Luke 11, 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. How could Jesus be eating that chicken wing before he washed his hands? And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is also within also? Look at verse 41. But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. That's interesting. That's a really interesting text, because here you have the Pharisees, and they're all about the outward. They're all about the show. They're all about being recognized. And Jesus says to them, instead of focusing on that, give alms. Give alms of what you have. You take of what you have and you help people with it, because they weren't, right? And it takes a heart that wants to be a help to help. You can't fake that for very long. I mean, you can't fake wanting to be a help to people, because the more you love, the less you're loved. We know Paul taught us this, right? And you'll help people and they won't appreciate it. But if you're doing it because you love them and for God, it doesn't matter how they respond. Now, if you're doing it because you want to be recognized or you want the applause, then it matters how they respond. But if you do it with the right heart, it doesn't matter. And it really does. It really does take that heart that loves God and loves people to be one who engages in alms giving. And it goes on from there. There's a really neat text and all that. But I just wanted to point that out in reference to the Pharisees, who Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, rather give alms of such things as ye have. And so this is something that Jesus did promote, even to the Pharisees. Amen. By the way, if you have an enemy, how does God say is a good way to kind of soften that thing up and maybe win them over? Give to them. Pray for them. Give for them. Do you know who can't do that? Those that have a heart problem. Amen. You find it really hard to help people and give to people when you in heart don't like them, you see. And so to be one who gives alms to the poor, to those that are needy, that our heart has to be right towards them, right? And very important. Luke 12, last verse I'll have you turn to. Luke 12. And by the way, it's interesting that Jesus said to them, all things will be clean to you. If you can get this thing of almsgiving down, he said both outside and inside will be clean. Which means you really can't give biblically unless your heart's right with God. Right? That's kind of what that's teaching there. Luke 12 and verse 33. This is an interesting text. He says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He said, if you will make giving alms a priority, you provide yourself with bags that don't wax old. Now, what is that really talking about? Really Haggai, that Israel there wasn't doing right by God, and God said he put a hole in their sack. And when they were working themselves to the bone, and they were putting in that sack, and they could never get ahead because God basically cut a hole in their sack, and it was coming out the bottom as fast as it was going in the top. Another passage talks about him just blowing on it, and it just gone, right? And so what he's saying here is this. He's saying, if you take giving to the poor, almsgiving, seriously, you provide yourself with a bag that doesn't have holes in it, right? That's what he's saying here. And he's saying, and you're laying up treasure in heaven where the Federal Reserve can't get to it, President Biden can't get to it, the physician can't get to it, amen, the thief can't get, nothing like that. It's laid up in heaven, amen. He says, and then he says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so if we begin to give in this way, what it says is, it kind of gives us a heart for those we're giving to include heavenly things, God who ultimately is the recipient of these things. Amen? Which is another important detail. It's if you have a problem with somebody and you start praying for them in a right way, not for their destruction. Not that a truck will run them over, right? Not like, I mean, praying for them to be helped. Amen. It's amazing how your heart turns towards them, right? Well, add to that some giving, some helping. And I know you can't give to everybody, and God's not asking you to give to everybody. God just wants you to be open to giving as he leads, as he guides. Sure, there's a lot of people out there that are shysters and are
crooked and all those. Sure, there's a lot of people out there that could be working and they're worse than an infidel. They're not providing for their own. Sure, there's those out there that take everything they're given and they go drink it or smoke it or whatever while their kids are hungry. I get it. There's all those. But there's also a lot of people that have legitimate needs, right? That's who we're praying for to be a help to, and just being open to that. And God's just saying here, if need be, sell some things so you can do it. Remember, we work so that we have to, that's what it is, give. That's what it says. We work so that we have to give. And that's the principle of almsgiving. And it sure does look like in Scripture that if you'll engage in that, I'm sure many here do, and I'm glad for it. Amen. But if you'll engage in that ministry, God takes note. Amen. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Amen. And you don't need to call the attention to it. Matter of fact, it's better if you don't. And you just let God handle it. Amen. And God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this little lesson on almsgiving. And Lord, we want to give. We want to be available to help others, but we want to help those that you want us to help. We don't want to be taken advantage of, God. We don't want to cast our pearls before swine. We don't want to do those things we don't want to help the ungodly, Lord, as you even talked to Jehoshaphat and told him not to do that. But at the same time, there are legitimate needs, and Lord, we want to be open to being givers, like our Lord and Savior, to give to legitimate needs that only He could help with. And I'm sure there's needs like that only we can. And so God, help us, Lord, just to be willing to be used as a vessel of Thine to give to needs that exist, that You call our attention to. And God, when we do that, help us, Lord, not to brag about it. Help us, Lord, not to post it and say, look what I did, or in a prayer request, toot their own horn or some praise. God, help us to learn the principle that our left hand wouldn't even know what the right hand's doing in reference to this, that we just give and we forget it. And then, God, leave the results to You. Thank You, Lord, for tonight. Thank You for those that are here. Thank You, God. I know many here are givers, and I thank You for that. And I just praise You, God. And I pray that this message might have been a help to all that were able to hear it tonight. We love You. We thank You, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.